ask you to take your Bibles and open them along with me. These ancient words will guide us once again. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Continuing our study in 1 Corinthians and our study of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In all the world, there is no other institution like the local church. That may sound like a bold claim, but no other institution, Christian or otherwise, shares the unique characteristics of the church. No other organization, no community group, no club, no affinity group, no nonprofit, no business or service organization or government entity can ever lay claim to what the church alone lays claim to. For it was the church alone that has been designed and instituted by God. It is the church alone that has been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the church alone that is led by and headed by Jesus Christ. It is the church alone that was birthed and has been continually empowered by the Holy Spirit. Only the church is given specific instruction in Scripture for its organization and activity. Only the local church is given the mandate to conduct and oversee the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's table. Only the local church is given the authority to bind and loose through the process of restorative church discipline. And only the church is described in Scripture as the body of Christ. In all the world, there is no other institution like the local church. Paul is sharing some of this uniqueness of the local church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, of the preciousness of it, of the value we ought to recognize that it has. So join with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, and I'll read through verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God is so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. Hear the word of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for this revelation from you. May it guide our thinking with regard to the local church and our place within it. Lord, may we love the church as you love the church and gave yourself for it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this unique, unparalleled institution designed by God, purchased with your blood, birthed by your Spirit. Thank you for placing each of us here at this moment, at this time, together in this local body. Let us understand your purposes for us, both as the body of Christ and individually as members of it. We ask this in Jesus' name and for the good of your church. Amen. As we began a study of this passage last week, you'll recall I left you with a cliffhanger. I know you've been biting your nails all week for that last point. There were five lessons concerning the church's unity and diversity as the body of Christ, and we got through the first four last Sunday, and I said we saved the fifth for last, and so we're going to pick up where we left off last Sunday. I'm going to review the first four very briefly this morning. The first was that the church as Christ's body, though diverse, is yet one. Fundamentally, the body of Christ, the local church, is one. We are not merely a bunch of random parts, but rather the parts are brought together and create a unity, a oneness. Secondly, we saw that the church as Christ's body, though one, is yet diverse. Because we're one, that does not deny our diversity, our differences, our uniquenesses, our giftings, which are different, our experiences. All of that is a beautiful, beautiful diversity that contributes to our effectiveness as a body. Thirdly, the church's various members share equally in being a part of Christ's body. There are no second-class members of the body. There are no unneeded, disposable members of the body. We all share equally in being a part, an equal part of Christ's body, despite our differences. Fourthly, the church's various members share equally in Christ's design for them. Whatever part you are in the body of Christ has been divinely designed and assigned to you. This is God's plan for you and for the local church of which you are a part. He has a place for you. He has intentions for you. He has a plan for you. He has a design in the body and in the various members that make it up. And that brings us to the fifth point. You can all breathe a collective sigh of relief. Here is the resolution of the tension that I created last week. Fifth point, the church's various members share equally in necessity, importance, honor, and care for one another. You see, there's a sermon right there. That's why I saved it for this week. The church's various members are to share equally in necessity, importance, honor, and care for one another. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. You see, we saw in verse 18, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. The body of Christ has been very intentionally designed by God. Verse 18 there makes it explicit. It's repeated in verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. There is intentionality. There is design in the body of Jesus Christ. And this divine design has four specific results or purposes, and those purposes are seen in this point here. Necessity, importance, honor, and care. And so we're going to look at each one of those in the time that we have this morning. First of all, we see that this divine design has the specific result or purpose in that we share equally in necessity as members of the body of Christ. Verses 19 and 20. Paul says, if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. Again, we see this diversity and unity. Unity and diversity. If we're all the same, where would the body be? For a physical body to be a body, it has to have a diversity of parts. You can't have a body that's made up of all hands. You know, that's something, it's something out of a horror movie or something, you know, coming at you, all hands. You know, that's not a body, that's a monster. For a body to be a body, it has to have a diversity of parts. You can't have a body that's made up of all ears. It'd be a little bit like looking at a pile of tires, a great massive pile of tires, and say, that's a car. It's not a car. It's various parts that are in part used to make a car, but that's not a car. It's just a bunch of tires. It takes a lot more than just tires to make a car. And it takes a lot of different parts to make up a physical body. And so it is for the church. We are not all the same. And that's by divine design. For the church to be the church, we need to have all the various parts present. All the various parts need to be represented and working together. Therefore, all members of the local body are necessary in order for the body to be the body. In other words, we can't do this without you. You and the gifting that God has given you are a necessary component for the body to be the body. In fact, Paul says in verse 20 that there are indeed many members, but one body. Many members, one body. Unity and diversity in the body of Christ. Now let me say at this point, when Paul is talking about the body of Christ here in 1 Corinthians 12, is he talking about all Christians everywhere? Or is he talking about the Christians in the church at Corinth? In other words, is he talking about the church universal? Or is he talking about the church local? Often when Christians talk about the body of Christ, they talk about the universal church, that unseen, invisible church made up of all believers everywhere, that unseen, invisible church that can't possibly gather under one roof, for it's too numerous and too spread out geographically. That's the universal church. In fact, we'd say that it includes saints of old as well. But that is not what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about, when he talks about the body, he's talking about the local church, the church at Corinth, to be specific. The local church at Corinth is the body of Christ, Paul says. And so verses 11 and 18 that talk about that divine design and this very careful placement of the members of the body, he's talking about divine design and careful placement of the members of the body of the local church, the local assembly, the local visible expression of the body of Christ. So we could talk about the local church, each local church, as a local expression of the body of Christ. Or we could say even more specifically of our church, we are the body of Christ as it finds its expression here at Austin Bluffs Evangelical Free Church. We are the body of Christ. Now that's significant. Look around you. Right? It's not just me and you in a room, right? We're here with one another. We are the body at Austin Bluffs. God has a plan and a design for each local church. And so you and I are not here by accident. God has providentially placed us here together within this local body of Christ. And he has a specific design and a specific purpose for each one of us. A design and purpose that is part and parcel to who we are as a church, as the body of Christ. And so the point is that you are a necessity to this church. By God's design, you're here, right? By you being here and calling this church home, you have made yourself a necessity to us. We need you. We all need you. We all need one another. You are not peripheral. You are not unnecessary. You are not an appendix. As a Christian and as a part of our church, you are a member of this local body of Christ. And as a member of this local body, you are needed. Your spiritual gift is needed. Your service is needed. Your presence is needed. Your fellowship is needed. As members of the same local expression of the body of Christ, we need each other. Along these lines, let us ask ourselves this important question this morning. Since I am a member of the body of Christ, since I am a part of this local expression of the body of Christ, if everyone who is a part of this church participated in the life of this church in the same way that I currently do, would the church be stronger or weaker as a result? If everyone approached the church the way I do, if everyone took the same view of the church that I do, if everyone participated in the ministries of the church as I do, would the church be stronger or weaker? We are all members of the body of Christ. And as such, we are all necessary parts of the whole. And the church is either stronger because of the way we approach our part of being a member of the body of Christ, or it's weaker because of it. It's not neutral. It's either stronger or weaker. We need each other. That's why it can be so devastating and painful for churches when, sadly, so many Christians seem to switch churches every 3 or 4 years. At year 3 or 4, these Christians have grown accustomed to the church. It's no longer new. The relationships are no longer new. And worse yet, they're beginning to be asked to help out in ways that bring discomfort. The honeymoon is over. Now they know some of the problems of the church, the weaknesses of the church, the shortcomings of the church. Now they've had an interaction or two that didn't go well, and there's a difficult relationship there in the church. They begin to grow discontent with the ministry of the church, discontent with the preaching of the church, tired of the music. They don't really want to see that person that they had that difficult patch with. And then they hear this story of great and exciting things happening at church XYZ. I mean, it's just a church of letters. It's cutting edge. And it's great. So you steal away and you visit one Sunday and yes, this is exciting. This is new. This isn't anything like where I was. It's great. It's so different from their current church in all the right ways. And so they decide to leave. And they begin attending XYZ Church. And sadly, in 3 or 4 years, the cycle tends to repeat itself. Now, I realize, as I stand here, this sounds so self-serving. And it can sound so heavy-handed. And I hope you know my heart. That's not my intent. But beloved, this is not how the body is supposed to work. Shifting around our parts every 2, 3, 4, 5 years. It's a real weakness of the American church that is a reality. Perhaps especially so in our town. And it shows a fundamentally low view of the local church and a low view of our part as Christians in the body. It shows we really don't understand the beauty and gravity of this body metaphor that Paul uses here. It shows that we've brought our American consumer mentality right into the church with us. Even as the Corinthians brought the issues of their culture right into church with them. We're guilty oftentimes of the same things. To think that the church is here to meet my needs as long as it does and I'm satisfied with the product and the customer service I receive, then I will stay. Someone recently said joining a church should be more like getting married for life and less like getting a new car every few years. Now, this applies to pastors as well. As you probably know, the average pastorate is only about 3 years in length. 3 years. I mean, you've barely got curtains hung in your office 3 years. You want to know one of the reasons I've stayed here at ABEFC so long? It'll be 20 years in August. In part, it's because you all are such a great church. And you love the Word of God. Or you wouldn't still be here. There's a lot shorter sermons going on out there. I know that. You love the Word of God. You love your pastors and you care for your pastors. That's one of the reasons I've stayed so long. But the other great reason I've stayed so long is because I believe so much in this text and what it's teaching and its implications. This isn't just a job. This isn't just a career. I'm not trying to climb a ladder. I'm trying to be a part of a body. trying to bring my part, whatever that is, to this local expression of the body of Christ and have it be stronger as a result, not weaker. Now, I'm not saying there are never legitimate reasons to leave a church. There certainly are. When the Word of God is not being preached or is being preached inaccurately, when the gospel is distorted, when there is unrepentant sin that goes unconfronted. But these are not typically the issues over which most people leave their churches. Brothers and sisters, we need you. And we need you to stay. To stay despite all the things about your church that you wish were different. There's a lot about this church I wish was different. I'm the pastor. To stay despite the challenges and the shortcomings. Why? Because that's what the body does. Because that's what love does, as we'll see in the next chapter, chapter 13, and the great love chapter. Think about it in reference to the church and the challenges and difficulties, yes, that exist. When you decide to stay at a church for a long time, it's going to require love. Love for the body. Love that is patient. Love that does not seek its own. Love that does not take into account a wrong suffered. A love that bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things, believes all things. If this kind of love for the local church were more present, I believe we'd see a lot less of the shifting of the saints. Secondly, you can all breathe a sigh of relief. Went from preaching to meddling. Verses 21 and 22, we share equally in importance. We share equally in necessity. We need each other. We are the body. We share equally in importance. Verses 21 and 22. The Apostle Paul says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. An eye without a hand would only be good for seeing, but not grasping. It would be all visualization with no realization. All sense of sight without a sense of touch. Both are equally important. If you had eyes but no hands, you could see the bowl of fruit, but there would be no way to take hold of it. The eye has need of the hand. Likewise, the head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. The head's not going to get around on its own. It needs some way to move from one side of the room to the other. Each member of the body of Christ shares a fundamental equality of importance by nature of being a part of the body. Paul says in verse 22, on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. The weaker members of the physical body that Paul has in mind here are a little bit difficult to pin down. He refers to them as weaker and as less honorable. What's he talking about? Which part of the physical body does he have in mind? Well, some say he's talking about the inner organs inside of us, inside our body cavities, our heart, our lungs, our digestive system. Others say perhaps he's even referring to our reproductive organs, All these seem to be weaker in that they are unseen. But just because they are less visible than other members doesn't mean that they are therefore unimportant. Far from it. An eye or a hand or a foot isn't going to be worth much if you don't have a heart to pump the blood. Or if you don't have lungs to oxygenate that blood, or a digestive system to process food and turn it into energy, or reproductive organs by which to procreate and reproduce. These members seem hidden, and yet the nature of their hiddenness does not equate into their being unimportant. For they are every bit as necessary, one could argue even more so, as these more visible parts. You see, in the church at Corinth, there were those who had an overinflated view of themselves. They thought that because they had the gift of tongues or of miracles or of healing, that they were somehow more important and more necessary than everyone else. And Paul refutes this flat out. There may be some here today who think that because they have the gift of teaching or the gift of evangelism or the gift of leadership, that they're somehow more important than someone, say, with the gift of helps or the gift of mercy, those behind-the-scene gifts of service. Well, let us divest ourselves of that false sense of self-importance. Listen, as a pastor and teacher of God's word, I know that my giftings wouldn't count for much if they stood on their own. That every time I ascend this pulpit and I bring the word of God, there is a whole host of servants behind the scenes that you never see. The spotlights aren't on them, but they are quietly, faithfully serving the Lord. You can hear me now because I've got a faithful brother behind the soundboard. And they're here every week. There are limiting distractions in our midst because we've got faithful people in the nursery and children's ministry who are pouring themselves into the next generation. Also helping mom and dad get a little bit of a break, an undistracted attention to the word of God being preached. Without the gifts of helps and service and mercy, the gifts of teaching and pastoring would not be able to function as they should. Without the gifts of help and administration, who would unlock the doors? Who would take care of the facility? Who would do all of these things? Who would care for children and welcome visitors and greet people with a bulletin and a warm smile? In this sense, I know that my ministry of preaching God's word is but a tiny part of all the ministry that takes place here week after week. So in this sense, we all share in an equal importance because each member of the body is necessary. If each is necessary, each is important. The one flows from the other. So we should never look down on or dismiss others' contributions to the whole, nor our own. All members should be valued for the part they play in the proper functioning of the body. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. When you look at others' ministries, view their ministry as more important than your own. Next, we see that we share equally in honor. Verses 23 and 24. Paul now speaks in verse 23 of those members of the body which we deem less honorable. Again, it could be he's referring to our internal organs or perhaps even our reproductive organs. And we tend to clothe these areas of our body, the trunks of our body, for they would, in one sense, seem less honorable. We want to clothe those parts of our body. That's right. But in clothing these, quote, less honorable parts, we're actually affording them greater honor. We dress them up. We dress these parts of our body up. We put nice clothes over them. Whether Paul is talking about these internal organs or what exactly, the point is the same. These less visible parts of our body are in fact worthy of greater honor. After all, if you had to choose, okay, you're forced with a choice today. Which would you rather do without? A hand or a heart? Well, I don't really want to choose either. But if I had to choose, I guess I'd go without the hand. Because you can't go without the heart. It's not an option. And so these lesser members, these less seen members, are nevertheless worthy of honor. The relative visibility of a gift is not that which determines the honor that the gift should receive. All are to be honored. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." Honor one another. There is no service rendered unto Christ that is dishonorable. There is no service to be rendered unto Christ that is beneath us. All service to Christ is honorable and deserving of encouragement, respect, and thanks. Finally, we share as members of the body of Christ equally in care for one another. Verses 25, 26, 27. Paul shares the result of this equal honor, this equal importance, and this equal necessity. He says in verse 25, "So that there may be no division in the body." Division in the body is not good. Division between your head and your body is fatal. If one leg wants to walk while the other leg only wants to stand still, the result will be frustration. We are to understand that we all share in the same necessity, the same importance, the same honor, in order that we might not act like a divided body, but rather as a body is supposed to behave, with all its parts functioning together in coordination, accomplishing a goal, a mission. And this doesn't just happen. It takes practice. You know, our bodies don't come out of the womb with a lot of coordination. Nobody comes out of the womb walking. It takes effort. It takes time. I haven't ever been accused of being the most coordinated person ever. Or athletic, for that matter. When I was in kindergarten, my gym teacher sent a note home to my parents explaining that I was having trouble skipping. Any others with the challenge of skipping? And could they please work on that at home with me? Apparently, skipping wasn't big in my neighborhood. So we worked on it. And now you'll be happy to hear that I'm one of the best skippers you've ever seen. Seriously, I'll take you on in the parking lot. Took a little work, took a little practice, a little effort for me to get my body working the way it should, in coordination, all the limbs going as they ought. So it is for the church. These things don't just happen. Ring. These things take effort. They take time. It takes us valuing the other members of the body to see their importance and their necessity and to give them honor. But one of the results of this effort will be a united body functioning as it should. Another result will be mutual care. See the end of verse 25, so that there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If we're seeing the necessity and importance of each part, of each one of us, if we're truly honoring one another, then we'll also necessarily care for one another. Why? Because we are interconnected. This is a body. This isn't a club. This isn't some kind of social organization. This is a body. We are connected. You and I. And so we view one another as equally important, as equally necessary, as equally worthy of honor. And therefore we care about each other. As Paul says in verse 26, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. This is Paul's vision for the church. This is Christ's vision for the church. Ever stub your toe really, really bad? It's just a toe, right? I mean, look at those little things at the end of your feet. They don't seem very important. But you break a toe, and you're going to be living with pain for a couple of weeks. And your whole body is going to compensate. You'll be limping around. You'll be distracted. It'll be hard for you to focus on other tasks. It'll be hard to accomplish those other tasks. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And yet if one member is honored, we all rejoice with that member. Why? Because we share in that honor, because we are connected with one another. Do you see the vision that Paul is presenting for the local church? As Paul says in verse 27, we are Christ's body and individually members of it. Unity and diversity in the body. Unity and diversity that reflects a common necessity, a common importance, an equal honor, and an equal care. This is the local church, and it's the church for which Christ died. And you and I are part of the same one. And I love you. And I'm glad to be here. And I want to work on being the church that God wants us to be together in the years that come. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we confess that we have brought many cultural ideas about what the church should be into the church with us. And oftentimes these are in direct conflict with your word. The church is a glorious, unique institution designed by you, founded upon the blood of Christ, birthed by the Holy Spirit. And we have all been placed here at this time, at this place, in this local body, by divine design, with a divine purpose. Lord, let us treasure that. Let us value that. Let us throw ourselves into it. We love your church, O God. Help us to love it more. We love you, Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to make you our first love. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.